Hello, friends. This is Bob Friedland with another podcast for you today. This podcast is a companion to the blog of the same name, Stock Picks Bob's Advice. And as I explain multiple times on my podcast, I'm an amateur investor, and I've been investing quite a while, on and off over 50 years. I've been following the stock market. So I've seen a lot of ups and downs, and I like to use this podcast to share with you some of my observations, to pick a stock that I find interesting and explain why, and more or less to give you the tools to do what I do, how to look under the hood of a stock, find out what makes it tick, why it might be a good one or a bad one for you. As always, please remember to consult with your professional investment advisors prior to any stock market activity based on information on this website, as I'm an amateur investor. I'll try to let you know when I own stocks that I discuss, when I might own one, but sometimes I even don't always know all the stocks I own because some of my accounts are managed by other people. Also, I like to include a poem in each of these podcasts when I get around to it. I'm not sure why poetry is important with a stock blog, but maybe it grounds us a little to remember what really is important is not necessarily the movement of a stock market, but some other things in life. So today I'm going to talk a little bit about Church and Dwight. It's a symbol, CHD. And today, by the way, is February 1st, 2022. It's about 12:45, just after noon today. And I thought it was a good time to do a podcast. And the poem I want to discuss comes out of a book of poetry I had purchased a few years back. A lot of it because I was podcasting and I wanted to find some poems I could share. And this is a very nice small volume called The Best Loved Poems of Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis, selected and introduced by Caroline Kennedy. And one of the poems here is a very famous poem by Walt Whitman called I Hear America Singing. I hear America singing the varied carols I hear, those of mechanics, each one singing his as it should be blithe and strong. The carpenter singing his as he measures his plank or beam, the mason singing his as he makes ready for work or leaves off work, the boatman singing what belongs to him in his boat, the deckhand singing on the steamboat deck, the shoemaker singing as he sits on his bench, the hatter singing as he stands, the woodcutter's song, the plowboy's on his way in the morning, or at noon, intermission, or at sundown, the delicious singing of the mother, or of the young wife at work, or of the girl sewing or washing, each singing what belongs to him or her and to none else, the day, what belongs to the day, at night, the party of young fellows, robust and friendly, singing with open mouths their strong, melodious songs. So that's the poem today, Walt Whitman. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about Church and Dwight, and some of you may be familiar with this company, others not so much. But Church and Dwight is one of those companies that's everywhere around us, and we don't always know that we're seeing it. I mean, growing up, I remember my father always taught me a little trick of looking at labels in restaurants and at grocery stores and figuring out who owned what. Now, Church & Dwight is well known for its Arm & Hammer brand. Makes everything from cat litters, carpet deodorizers, laundry detergents, and baking soda. even condoms, lubricants, and vibrators under the Trojan brand, stain removers, cleaning solutions, laundry detergents, bleach alternatives under the OxyClean brand, battery-operated and manual toothbrushes under Spinbrush, home pregnancy and ovulation test kits under the First Response, depilatories under Nair, oral analgesics under Orajel, laundry detergents using the Extra brand, gummy dietary supplements under the Little Critters and VitaFusion brands. It makes Waterpik, Flawless products, Zicam, on and on. Anyway, they make quite a few different products. They were founded back in 1846 and headquartered in Ewing, New Jersey. So I first wanted to say that I do own some shares of Church & Dwight. I'm in two separate stock clubs, and they both own some shares. And it's one of those kind of what I would call a core stock holding. It doesn't trade very volatilely, but it's been a long-term, very nice position for myself. And if you can find an entry point, might be a good position for you, but that would be your decision. So now that we know what they do, let me just take a quick look, if I can pull up their chart, give you an idea, if I can describe it, looking at it. If you want to follow along with me, I'm over at stockcharts.com. It's under the free charts, and then there's a little box up top. And what you do is you drag down, and I like to look at a point and figure chart in the drop-down menu. And if you enter, and I'll just do that again, enter CHD. This is the three-letter New York Stock Exchange symbol for Church & Dwight. And generally, they do what's called a three-box reversal. And it's a series of X's and O's. Again, you can see the small little red numbers numbering from 1 to 9. And this one starts at 5. And the years are down below it, so it's not a linear graph. Sometimes these charts might represent 1 year, 2 years, or 15 years. And so this one in particular goes back to April of 2020 to current. And back in April, this stock was as low as $66 a share. Took a fairly sharp rise in July of that year into the mid-90s range. And then drifted lower at one point back to 77 in March of 21. And again at about 80 in October of 21. And since October of 21 has moved considerably higher, where it is now trading currently at about $101.93. It's actually off 72 cents. On the day today, at least per this chart, which might be a few minutes out of date. So that's the chart, basically stepwise fashion moving higher. Now, if you drag down and on that reversal, make it 6 points, then you will get a longer period of time. So let me just put that in. There's a place where you can change it. And all of a sudden we have a chart going all the way back to 2008, when this stock was trading anywhere between $3.75, adjusted for any splits, and you can see the steady appreciation of this stock into the $100 range. Now, what? So we know that the chart looks good. There are a lot of stocks that charts look good. And as I've said on other podcasts, I think a reasonable place to start before investing in a stock is to look at the latest quarterly report. And we get an idea of how the company is doing on a quarterly report. And here's one. I found the latest report. And you can go to Yahoo Finance and scroll down trying to identify it. And interestingly, Church & Dwight just reported their fourth quarter earnings. And the results were earnings per share of 64 cents. Okay. Now, one of the questions is, two questions to ask about in earnings, I suppose. There's probably a lot more than two questions to ask, but what were the earnings a year ago? You can also say, what were the earnings the prior quarter? So we can talk about sequential financial improvement. And what was the street looking for? Because it's not just how well a company is doing, but what were the expectations of investors? Because the current price of a stock is all about the expectations. If a company is growing quickly, the street, as it's called, all the market makers and investors, they all know it's growing quickly and they're going to price it accordingly. So a stock could come in, I suppose, at a 50% increase of revenue or earnings, and yet the street could be very disappointed because they're expecting a 75% increase, and this would be a slowdown. And that same 50% increase could be a big surprise on the upside if the street was expecting 15%. So in absolute terms, a financial result is only important to a change of the stock price based on what people were thinking it was going to be. I think that makes sense. I hope I explained it. But anyway, this is off the Zacks Equity Research website that Yahoo Finance is picking up this news story. And Zacks is another investment service, and they also consolidate different analysts' expectations, different brokerage houses, investment bankers, whatever, have analysts that specialize in certain stocks, and they, make predictions based on their own research. But the Zacks consensus estimate for Church & Dwight for this fourth quarter was for 58 cents, and they actually exceeded expectations and actually increased 20.8% from the year-ago quarter. So this was a win-win. That is, they had a nice, strong up quarter, and they beat expectations. What Zacks says, this was mainly backed by greater than anticipated revenues from the company's consumer domestic business. Now, net sales, the actual sales of the company, you could see that's the top line. The revenue that they generated was $1.368 billion. That is $1,368 million. It was only up 5.7%, which doesn't sound that exciting, but it surpassed the Zacks consensus estimate of $1.348 billion. Organic sales rose 4.3% due to a favorable price and product mix. However, volumes declined 1.7%. And organic, suggesting not organic products, but non-acquisitions. But anyway, so a little bit of a mixed bag. The gross margin shrunk 50 basis points to 42.5% due to increased manufacturing costs. Market expenses were unchanged, and the marketing expenses, and they actually did spend a little less on marketing. You can see domestic and international sales were up about between 5 and 6%. And there's so on and so forth. And I don't want to spend too much time on it. So it looks like it's basically a positive story for Church & Dwight, for this very large company that's continuing to do well. Not spectacular, but a good report. And that's what I think investors are often pricing some of these steady Eddie kind of companies a little higher because of the consistency and less volatility results. So that's sort of what was the, it's a slice of time closest to right now. Like, what is the company doing right now? That's what a quarterly report tells me. The next thing that I like to look at is to go to Morningstar, another site. Now, Morningstar is well known for their ratings of mutual funds. They actually do some very nice work with stocks. So you can enter in under their search engine if you want to follow along with me. CHD, if you go to Morningstar.com, and then you'll see some, if I drop down, and you'll see Church & Dwight and be New York Stock Exchange US, and you can click on that and it'll pull up their page. Then what I like to do is to go ahead and we can look at the quote. There's a lot of different headings here, so we get that same deal. It's $102 a share right now. It's down 63 cents. They have a dividend yield of 1.02%. That's not earnings, but that's their dividend yield. And the trailing dividend yield is 0.98%. The reason that's different is that they've raised their dividend. But now that's just the quote. But if we go to the financials, which is what I really want to do, is to go to their income statement on an annual basis. And this is gives us a feeling for how Church & Dwight's been doing the last several years. And it goes back to 2018. It usually goes back 3 or 4 years. The revenue in 2018 was $4.15 billion. 2019 was $4.36 billion. 2020 was $4.90 billion. And the trailing 12 months is $5.12 billion. Okay. So you can see a very, not a spectacular growth, but consistent, steady. The net income also has improved from $570 million to the trailing 12 months of $820 million. Diluted earnings per share goes from $2.27 in 2018, 244, 2019, 312, and 2020, and $3.28 in the trailing 12 months. And it's just that very nice, consistent ramp up of earnings, revenue, that really is the engine of this stock price. You know, the technical activity of a stock, I will contend this, is dependent on a lot of functions. You know, in other words, what's going to move the price? And certainly the market itself, when the whole market goes higher in what's called a bull market, then all stocks generally rise. You know, it's sort of like, the rising sea level, raising all ships. And same with a declining market. And then there's speculation and individual stories and things, just kind of noise. But one has to believe, or should believe, that the price is essentially tied to the underlying fundamental performance of the company. That is, these kind of numbers. The second thing I like to look at Morningstar, we can look at the balance sheet, and we'll see that they do have 1.79 billion in total debt. That's total debt, and total equity of 3.51 billion and 180 million in cash and cash equivalents. But more important, I like to look at cash flow. They did have a dip in free cash flow this last year. It was $700 million in 2018, $790 million in 2019, $890 million in 2020, and $740 million. So they're free cash flow positive. They're generating cash, which is opposed to dividends, which they also pay. They do pay dividends. So if I look up dividends under the Morningstar tab up top, we'll see that they've done something else Very nice. That's a whole nother area of dividend paying stocks. And there's a group of stocks called dividend aristocrats, which are paying dividends for a certain number of years and increasing it. And what's nice is if we look at 2012, we see that they paid 48 cents a share. 2013, 56 cents a share. 2014, 62 cents per share. 2015, 67 cents a share, then 71, then 76, then 87, and 2019, 91 cents a share. So what we see is not only they have growing earnings, growing revenue, but they're also paying a dividend and they're growing their dividend. And there's a little place in here to look at stock splits. And, if we look way back to, in 1986, if you own the stock back in 86, they split it 2-for-1 in March. They split it again 2-for-1 in September of 99. September of 2004, they split it 3-for-2. June of 2011, it split 2-for-1. And September of 2016, they split it again, 2-for-1. Now, splits are nice, but you don't get rich on splits. You get like more shares, but they're each lower in price. But overall, it seems to be part of this bullish trend of this stock. So we can see that it has a good current result in the quarterly report. The Morningstar report for several years is very good. And on top of that, they've got a record of paying a dividend and increasing it every year. Can they keep it up? That'll be the question. So the last question I like to always ask, or one of the things that I do like to ask is, we know what the current result is. We know what the past is. Well, what's the future hold for Church and Dwight? Are things falling apart or are things growing? And we can again look at the analysts, and we go to Yahoo Finance under analysis. There's a different tabs here under Church and Dwight. There's summary, company outlook, chart, conversation, statistics, historical data, profile, financials, then analysis. And what we see on revenue estimates is that there are 15 analysts looking at next year and this year, and the average estimate for this year is $5.51 billion. And next year is $5.71 billion. That's a $200 million increase estimated in 2023. It's a little bit of a slowdown. It's only 3.7% compared to 6% this year, but it's still growth. Now, if we look at earnings, similarly, this year it's $3.22 for 2022, and next year of 2023 at $3.48. And the estimates are really pretty solid, although just a slight upward bias as it goes. So in summary, we've got Church and Dwight. I always like to say it's sort of a Peter Lynch kind of stock. Peter Lynch was managed the Fidelity Magellan Fund. He always used to talk about seeing things in the mall that his daughter would buy and finding out what the investment was. But I say it's a Peter Lynch kind of stock because you can go down to the grocery store and see Arm & Hammer things. And I know I had some VitaFusion gummies this morning. So we use, and everybody knows, how many people have Arm & Hammer baking powder? Or is it baking soda? It's actually baking soda, excuse me. Baking soda in their refrigerator. That's what I grew up with is. My mother always said that keeps your refrigerator fresh. I have a can of Arm & Hammer. We don't currently, but that's what I grew up with. So it's a company that we know, we understand. And from my perspective, they're executing very well. They're growing their company and managing their products. They're increasing their revenue, increasing their earnings, paying a dividend out of their cash flow, and increasing that dividend every year. The stock price is appreciating And it's been splitting about every 5 years. And I know there's a comment on Morningstar, watch out, it's a little overvalued. So I'm not sure right now if this is the proper entry at this very moment. But it's a kind of company that I think it's wise to have on your horizon. Certainly something to think about, don't you think? So it seems to fulfill a lot of the requirements I have. Company that, it's not the company you think is going to just go skyrocket for some reason. It's not a meme stock. Maybe the old expression was a stock for orphans and widows, but I've done well with it, and I don't see any reason why it shouldn't continue to do well in the future. Anyhow, that's my take. And again, I'm an amateur investor. I'm not a professional investment advisor. I'm a retired physician who does blogging and now is doing some podcasting and has been a stock market fan for years and years and years. Thank you so much for stopping by and spending a little time with me. It's February 1st, 2022. It's now about 1:10 p.m. I hope you have a wonderful day, that you stay well and healthy, that your fortunes improve. If you have any questions at all or comments, you can find me on Podomatic, PODOMATIC.com, and just search for Stock Picks Bob's Advice, and I think you'll find my page where you can leave a comment or question, and happy to talk about it next time. You have a very good day, and be well. Good day.